We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Today, tomorrow, forever. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Delcarpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:04 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. It is the start of another week. You know, there are some folks, I guess, who aren't working today with the holidays that are available to them. But we are here, and we will this morning for this next hour of radio time. First part of the show, Alex Danielson's here from the River Watershed Group. We're going to talk about work being done on a project on the East Fork of the Hood River. We'll talk about what's happening there. Second half of the program, Andrea Claus, Port of the Dalles, will join us in the studio as well. Actually, the Dalles Community Outreach Team, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, maybe even 4 weeks ago, were in Washington, D.C., talking to federal officials, pitching local projects, things like that. So we will talk to her about that. But first, as we always do, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1792, the cornerstone of the Executive Mansion, later known as the White House, was laid by President George Washington during a ceremony in the District of Columbia. 1932, President Herbert Hoover and Chief Justice Charles Evan Hughes laid the cornerstone for the U.S. Supreme Court building in Washington. 1943, Italy declared war on Germany, its one-time Axis partner. 1960, on this day, the Pittsburgh Pirates won the World Series, defeating the New York Yankees in Game 7, 10-9, on a home run by Bill Mazeroski. There had never been a home run to end the World Series in the seventh game until that one. 1972, a Uruguayan chartered flight carrying 45 people crashed in the Andes in order to stay alive. Survivors resorted to feeding off the remains of some of the dead until they were rescued more than 2 months later. 1999, in Boulder, Colorado, the JonBenet Ramsey grand jury was dismissed after 13 months of work, with prosecutors saying there was not enough evidence to charge anyone in the 6-year-old beauty queen's slaying. In 2010, on this date, rescuers in Chile, using a missile-like escape capsule, pulled 33 men, one by one, to fresh air and freedom, 69 days after they were trapped in a collapsed mine 2,300 feet underground. 2011, Raj Rajaratnam, the hedge fund billionaire at the center for one of the biggest insider trading cases in U.S. history, was sentenced by a federal judge in New York to 11 years behind bars. And this day in 2016, Bob Dylan was named the winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature. Days for today is Columbus Day, it is Indigenous Peoples Day, and in Canada, it is Thanksgiving today. They have Thanksgiving when it's easier to travel around than we do, obviously. Not sure why we don't follow their lead on that one. It's English Language Day today. It's also Good Samaritan Day. It is the International Day for Disaster Risk Reduction, which I guess is just a very formal way to say be prepared. It's also International Day for Failure Day today, which this is to encourage people to try things and learn from failure. It's also International Plain Language Day today. We could use that in a lot of places. It's International Suit Up Day today, which apparently comes from the show, I didn't really watch this very much, How I Met Your Mother, and the Neil Patrick Harris character, who always wore a suit, and apparently his thing was that you should suit up. It's also National Kick Butt Day today. Get out there and do things. It's also National Train Your Brain Day today. And finally, it's Silly Sayings Day today, and I don't have any particular reason why that is. Our food today, first of all, will be very British here to start with. It's National Yorkshire Pudding Day today. And most importantly, we probably could have just done this and left everything else out. It's National M&M Day today. We celebrate M&Ms. Of course, now they come in however many flavors they seem to have. To me, there should be two. Plain peanut. That's it. That's all you need. But marketing goes on, as they say. And that's what we've got for you, for what it's worth, which isn't a whole lot. 8:08 in the morning, we'll come back, and we will talk to Alex Danielson, Hood River Watershed Group, right after this.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
Seems like back to school happens earlier each year.
First day of school coming in hot.
And this year my kids had massive supply lists.
Folders, notebooks, and pens. Oh, the humanity.
But Staples had everything I needed, with some items just 25 cents.
Watch the small print.
No. My back to school budget was saved by Staples Easy Button.
Everything for school, in stock and as low as 25 cents. Staples.
That was easy.
In store, online, and on the app. It's 9:13 while supplies last.
Progressive knows there's so many great things about being a sports fan. Like scoring the company box seats. How great is that? Trick plays that actually work. Prevent defense when your team is winning by a lot. And even more preventative prevent defense as they're hanging on by a thread. And of course, saving money when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive. That's pretty great. Just like trick plays that actually work.
Yeah, but how often does that happen?
Complaining about sports? Not so great. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Voted best in the Gorge, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air keeps your home comfortable year-round. Hi, I'm Kimberly, and whether it's heating, cooling, or plumbing, our expert team is here when you need us most. From repairs and installations to our exclusive monitoring and plumbing memberships, we help prevent problems before they start. Our customers trust us for fast service, honest advice, and quality work every time. Experience why we've earned your votes in Best of the Gorge. Call A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air today, CCB 203004. Your comfort starts here.
So I have a mouse. No big deal.
Actually, mice contaminate food and spread disease.
Daddy, a wasp.
It's too cold for wasps, honey.
Actually, fall is when stinging insects are most aggressive.
So I saw a cockroach. Okay, three. It's no emergency.
Actually, cockroaches can trigger asthma and spread disease. Household pests are a health threat. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And welcome back. It's 8:11 in the morning. Alex Danielson's with us, Hood River Watershed Group. Good morning, Alex. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. And we were just talking baseball there for a second. Got interrupted by the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got my Dodger hoodie on. Not a surprise to the listeners out there who've listened for years, but it's time for the real series to start.
Okay. Well, I had to ask. You seem to be wearing that proudly.
Yeah, I am wearing it very proudly, yes. I've rooted for them since I was born way too long ago down in California.
Okay.
So
you're the real deal, then.
I'm a real deal Dodger fan. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's talk about, though, the Lower East Fork of the Hood River, because there's been a project going on Hood River Watershed Group's been involved in for, how long has it been working on this now? It's been a while.
Well, this project specifically, these restoration projects we do, they take, give or take, three-ish years from project development to project design to when we actually get around to building them in the river. And then there's usually about 5 years of maintenance and monitoring afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a haul.
Yeah, I imagine we'd say that the 3 years, probably you're including also getting funding and all those those steps to do it. But you're about to, you know, as you said, you have about 5 years where you keep watching it basically closely.
Right.
But you're about to finish the construction of a project, Lower East Fork of the Hood River.
Yes.
And tell us what the goal is here. What you guys have been doing.
So the Lower East Fork Hood River is a very high priority river here in our watershed. So we've got a lot of tributaries. We're not just the main stem of the Hood River, but the Lower East Fork is a high priority part of our watershed for a lot of the partners in this basin who are focused on restoring our native fish species here. And so that includes the Watershed Group, it includes the Warm Springs Tribe, it includes the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, it includes our irrigation districts, it includes the U.S. Forest Service, and then, you know, our everyday folks that live and play along the river here in the basin. And so a lot of focus on the Lower East Fork River because we have spring Chinook, we have fall Chinook salmon, we have coho salmon, we have rainbow trout, cutthroat trout, we even have Pacific lamprey who just started returning to and making it all the way up to the Lower East Fork Hood River after the Powerdale Dam was removed in 2010 now. So So we have a lot of high priority fish species that are in that part of our watershed. So a lot of reason to focus on trying to return some habitat there for these species.
So when you return habitat, you know, I would imagine there are some things you do. They're really what section of the river it is. It doesn't matter. It probably cuts across your various projects in terms of basic standard things you do.
Yes, and it depends on the fish species that are there.
Right.
Certain fish need certain types of species. Certain things work in certain areas. Steep rivers don't work well with putting log jams in the river. You know, if there's lots of bridges and infrastructure, that usually doesn't work well with a lot of the project features that we do. So we spend a lot of time before we even start with our projects of identifying reaches that would make the most sense for this type of work.
What sort of unique things, I guess, then have you done on this particular project?
I think one of the things that I'm constantly amazed about working in this watershed is that when we're working lower down in the watershed, like this one, we're working right around Middle Mountain, and we work with private landowners. And in this case, we're working with six plus different private landowners. And the fact that these folks let us come in and do this work on their properties is always amazing to me. That they open up their places and say, sure, come in with your large construction equipment.
I was going to say, this isn't gentle, light work, is it? You've got a lot of heavy duty stuff out there.
It's not. Right now on this site, we have three excavators of varying sizes. We have two off-road dump trucks. We have a roadworthy dump truck. We have, it's large.
Yeah.
It's a large construction project, and it's a mile and a half of the river. And so we have to make a little bit of a mess to ultimately, we're trying to repair hundreds of years of human impact in this valley. And so it takes a little bit of a strong arm.
So when you're dealing with a section like this section you're dealing with, is some of it opening up the channel more? I just from some of the equipment, that's what I start to think of is digging out more room.
Yes, in a way. So a lot of our rivers here in this valley used to be more than just a single thread channel.
Sure.
They used to move around a lot. They used to be multiple channels, multiple threaded channels, as we call it. So they used to be dynamic. They used to have more room to move around. But through this reach of the river, it's largely a single channel. It's steep, it's fast, and it's confined. And if you try to imagine being an adult salmon trying to return to its spawning grounds, that, especially depending on what fish you are and what time you're returning, it can be a pretty rough environment. And so one of the main things we're trying to do in this project specifically is take that single channel and move it out across any available floodplain out into multiple channels. And so spread that water out, spread that velocity out, and basically lessen it across this available floodplain. And that makes it a much more hospitable environment regardless of the time of year.
I take it that I doubt it restores, quote, to what it would be naturally. But I would assume it approximates it in some way.
It does. And a lot of what we try to do is the river is much more, the river is in charge, right? We have tried to strong arm it for a long time. And so what we try to do is put the pieces in place that will allow the river to restore itself over time. So we can put wood back in the river. We can recreate, we can remove sediment or excavate sediment in strategic places so that the river has access again to its floodplain or access to former side channels or off-channel habitat that it has been cut off from for a long time. And so then once it has this access or it has wood in the channel that helps kind of adjust its hydrology, it can start to do the work that it does on its own. Mm-hmm. To, you know, there are a lot of reasons why it will be really hard to get back to sort of an untouched natural habitat. Yeah. But we can create pockets of that, and it does a really good job of, once you put the pieces in place, the river does a good job of getting back to that spot.
You know, you mentioned putting the wood in there. Of course, that would have been naturally occurring with trees falling, et cetera, if it was untouched by human beings. When you do that, I assume there's got to be some way you do it to try to approximate how it would have happened in nature.
Right, right.
How do you do that? I mean, that seems, to the untrained person like myself, a daunting task.
Sure, it is. And it depends on where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're up way up Lolo Pass on the upper West Fork Hood River working on a Forest Service project, we can be a lot more, and I'm saying this in air quotes, a lot more natural at it. And we can try to replicate what a little more naturally what it would be like for rivers or for large trees to fall into the river and sort of rack up onto each other and create a naturalized log jam.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're working down in the lower East Fork Hood River where it's FEMA mapped floodplain and nothing we can do can adjust the 100 year floodplain level.
Yeah.
We have to have highly engineered designs that are able to be permitted to come in. So these are, we call them engineered log jams, where when we are constructing them in the river, it's an engineered design where they're engineered to withstand a 100-year flood. So they're it's almost like a Lincoln logged structure, but we try to build it in a way that makes it look as natural as possible, but we know that it's going to stay in place up to and through a 100-year flood.
So with that, I mean, the one thing I've always heard a lot about with trying to restore fisheries is water temperature.
Mm-hmm.
How do you try to factor that into this sort of work?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There are a lot of components of the water temperature.
Mm-hmm.
It's the amount of flow that will affect the temperature. If there's not enough flow, so if the water's shallower, temperature can heat up faster. If there's not enough tree cover, if there's not enough shade, that water can heat up faster. So those are all components of, so in that case, you know, we have a really detailed replanting plan after we construct these projects. A lot of the large conifer evergreen trees that used to be along our rivers have been since cut down or replaced with alders and trees that don't have that year-round shade. So a lot of what we come in and replant was with the long-term goal of having more year-round shade. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. And then, you know, we work this a lot of we've create bigger pools. We dig pools in the channel that hold cold water on the landscape longer, help release some of that water more slowly throughout the year. So we think about a lot of those variables in these projects in the design.
Does, you know, trying to get the river back to where it can approximate its natural flow with these various channels, does getting those flows help also with the water temperature? Just because it would seem to me that would create more of that availability for the water to flow and cool itself naturally.
I think holding the water on the landscape a little bit longer, the fact that it has connection to its floodplain a bit more, especially in high flows, and then throughout the summer months too, moving the water out onto the landscape, letting it percolate into the ground a bit more, and then slowly releasing it, that is definitely a way to cool water down and then keep that slow release. We've got a lot of cold water source here, so having more of a slow release structure is a much better way of moving water through our landscape.
You mentioned that after you finish one of these, and this one will be done in a couple of weeks, about 5 years of, I guess, kind of watching it, reviewing it, making changes maybe if you find there's something mm-hmm. happened. What ends up defining success in all this?
That's a good question. And we try to create that definition before we even start.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. we're our partners here in the basin. We've developed a big basin-wide monitoring plan, and we've set up metrics for you know, which for the average person might make your
head spin.
But we do, you know, that especially with all of the public and private funding that goes into these projects, we've got to have a really solid way to track that we're doing what we say we're going to do. And so we have a whole bunch of metrics that, and then project like this, there's implementation. Implementation metrics, how much wood are we putting in the river? How much additional side channel have we reconnected? Mm-hmm. You know, those are what are the solid metrics mm-hmm. that we've created? But then there's the effectiveness metrics. So over time, over a period of years, you know, we even try to say, okay, are more fish using this mm-hmm. habitat that we've created? And Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is helping us do that, doing some fish monitoring. And then, you know, we try mm-hmm. to say, how is this habitat changing over time? Mm-hmm. Is it helping, as I kind of mentioned before, is it evolving over time mm-hmm. to create more, create more of that habitat?
Well, I assume also that when we evaluate these, it's not just evaluating one specific location, it's evaluating what's been done as a whole, I would assume, in terms of, you know, you've been to different locations in the Hood River Valley working on projects like this.
Right.
It's the whole, really, that you have to take a look at, isn't it?
It is, indeed. And this isn't the only phase of work we're doing on the Lower East Fork project.
Sure.
So there was a project done in 2019 that was largely led by the tribes.
Yeah.
We're considering this phase two. Then we want to move upstream a little bit for phase three in the next year or two. And then we mm-hmm. even have a phase four identified by the East Fork Irrigation District diversion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a whole body of work. And we will look at this work, mm-hmm. You know, and the monitoring and data collection as a body of work and how it changes this river over time.
I assume how you get to those phases depends on funding issues.
It does. It does.
which I almost hate to ask this question, but how is the funding picture right now, given what we've seen go on here in the last year?
It is evolving.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good
generous.
Political way, yes.
We have the basin received a multi-year funding stream, about $10 million from the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. And that has lined up several years of work for us. But that is meant to cover 6 to 8 years of work, and it's meant to be matched. That is a body of work that only gets done if we have all of this other funding over here to match that mm-hmm. funding. And a lot of that other funding was federal funding.
Yeah.
More funding from match funding from the Warm Springs Tribe. And so it's a lot of that other funding that is to be determined, mm-hmm. if you will. I think this year we have a lot. We've been really fortunate with funding that project I mentioned with mm-hmm. the East Fork Irrigation District that we have planned for implementation in 2027. Mm-hmm. We have been really fortunate with a lot of funding from Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and at several grant programs mm-hmm. that they have. So state funding is pretty strong right now. But I guess the way I look at it is right now the hammer hasn't really dropped, if you will.
Yeah.
It's a year or two or three from now where a lot of that federal funding for this type of work has gone away and the competition for state funding or for private foundation funding will mm-hmm. get a lot more competitive.
Should mention tomorrow you're having a tour of the work we just talked about.
Right. We're having a tour for folks. You can sign up for that. limited attendance, just so that you can actually hear me while I'm trying to tour you around that site. But it's a really neat to see, especially after sort of fresh implementation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and it doesn't look like it's going to rain.
That looks like we're going to be okay. Today is kind of when it starts to get away.
Yes.
So we should be dry on tomorrow evening.
Yes. Yeah.
One more thing for the Watershed Group we should mention here before we get away, and that is in November there is going to be a fundraiser.
Yes. We have our annual fundraiser on November 19th at the Ruins, which is usually a really fun evening to come together and celebrate the work that we've accomplished with our partners over the previous year and look ahead at the year ahead and what we're hoping to accomplish. But it's a fun evening, usually with some auction items. There's a pie auction, which is usually a big hit, and dinner from Boda's Kitchen, and just a general good time to be with local friends and celebrate the Watershed Group.
Alex Danielson, Hood River Watershed Group, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Just about bottom of the hour. We'll come back, take a look what's on the news, and then we'll see Andrea Claus, Port of the Dalles, with us on MCT right after this.
Hey, I am Brant, and her name is Sherry, and she's a friend and a colleague of mine, and we were just praying for her, actually, because she had a major surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is MediShare. That's
right, of course. Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and your healthcare bills?
You know what? It was seamless, and that's such a blessing when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems, and let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in and it's just what you need, it's so refreshing.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling people. People love MediShare and saving tons of money. The typical family, I'm fond of saying, could save $500 a month.
I am so thankful for MediShare. It's so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way, Brant.
It is a good different. Call right now. They're so easy to talk to. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 888-SHARE-19. That's 888-SHARE-19. 888-SHARE-19.
I'm Dr. Carolee Christensen. I'm a wife, I'm a mom of twin boys, and a proud dog mom. I'm also a breast radiologist. Being a part of Skyline is so rewarding to get to work and provide care in the place that I call home. As the only breast radiologist subspecialty trained and fellowship trained in the Gorge, I'm really proud to offer a level of service deserving of the women in this community. What truly sets Skyline apart is its unwavering commitment to the people in this beautiful setting. I am Skyline.
I thought it was just stress. But then it felt like I was stuck in a state of panic, obsessed with worry that something bad would happen if I didn't complete endless rituals. I couldn't solve this on my own. So I made the call. I found a doctor who diagnosed me with OCD. Now I'm able to live more in the present.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today Guest is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:32 in the morning. Quick check of the news. In a rare podcast appearance this week, Governor Tina Kotek slammed Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem for making inflammatory remarks about Portland and continuing to push for federal troop deployment to Oregon following Noem's visit to the area. The podcast, hosted by California Governor Gavin Newsom, featured Kotek Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. In it, Kotek doubled down on her message. The White House has persisted to push for military mobilization based on inaccurate information or outright lies. Kotek said she thought there could be a reasonable conversation when she spoke with Noem in Portland on Tuesday, but then said it's, quote, hard to have a rational conversation with irrational people. Protesters rallying against the Trump administration in Portland put the city's quirky and irreverent reputation on display Sunday by pedaling through the city's streets wearing absolutely nothing or close to it in emergency edition of the annual World Naked Bike Ride. Crowds have gathered daily and nightly outside the immigration facility in Oregon's largest city in recent days and embraced the absurd, donning inflatable frog, unicorn, and banana costumes as they face off with federal law enforcement. Oregon Health Authority this week notified state prisons and other officials it no longer intends to implement a novel Medicaid initiative that would have targeted health services to those about to exit jail or prison. The move comes several months after health officials quietly placed the program's launch on hold, anticipating the passage of sweeping changes to shrink federal Medicaid spending as part of the Republican-led tax cuts package. Washington has abandoned its effort to force Catholic priests and other religious leaders to divulge information on child abuse and neglect they learn of in confession. With a pair of legal filings, the state agreed not to enforce the controversial provision of a new state law that adds clergy to a list of professions that must report to law enforcement when they have, quote, reasonable cause to believe that a child has suffered abuse or neglect. Stipulations filed in federal court will largely preserve the law while casting aside the controversial component related to confessions. Catholic bishops and Orthodox churches sued over that element, arguing was unconstitutional. Weather forecast, well, it's going to be cloudy today for the most part. We should start to see it break up this afternoon. Chance of showers diminishing, but strong east winds are expected throughout the region into tonight. High temperatures should end up being in the lower 50s today. Currently 43 in Stevenson, 44 in Hood River, 43 in the Dalles, 8:34 in the morning. Andrea Claus, Port of the Dalles Executive Director, is coming up next.
Hey, it's Angela from Cedar Creek Alpacas. We love this time of year. It means baby alpacas. Come meet the newest, cutest members of the herd, stroll the pastures, and stop by the alpaca shop to see what's new. Got family visiting? Bring them out and experience why we were voted best of the gorge for attraction and family entertainment. Cedar Creek Alpacas is a great place for holiday shopping. We have gifts for everyone from 1 to 100. It's fun, it's fluffy, and it's all waiting for you at Cedar Creek Alpacas, just 15 minutes west of the Hood River Bridge in Cook, Washington.
We are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
After my wife died, I lost myself too. I didn't feel like doing anything or seeing anyone. Then my granddaughter called to say she misses me, and I realized I had to make a change. That's when I made the call. I got referred to a psychiatrist, and she explained depression can happen to anyone. I'm learning that getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. Mental health care works when you make the call.
See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And welcome back. It's 8:36 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Andrea Claus, Port of the Dalles Executive Director, has stopped by. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Mark.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Dalles Community Outreach Team. You outreached last month, as you usually do, about twice a year, go to Washington, D.C.
We did.
Interesting time to go. it's been an interesting time to go for a while. What did you try to emphasize this time around?
Yeah, so maybe just to sort of build on that, it was an interesting time to be there. You know, it seems like when lately, the last few years, when we go in September, it's always around the same time that they're trying to pass a continuing resolution to keep the government open.
Yeah.
I actually have not heard the news today to see if the government is open yet.
No.
Okay. And so when we were there, we were asking the different folks that we were meeting with, like, what do you think? And, you know, it's such a... it's so complicated, right? Yeah. You know, it's like there's parts of the government that are open. There are parts of government that are furloughed and people aren't working. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody had a good read when we were in D.C. at the time. So, you know, we don't have an open government right now. But, you know, what that means when we're back in Washington, D.C. So the week that we were there was just before they were taking that vote. There were a lot of things going on, mm-hmm. you know, with the legislators. So this time when we went back, we actually went back with just policies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably our 20th year maybe of going back. And usually we go back and we have some funding requests. We have some policy requests. And we decided we just don't know what's going on with funding. Mm-hmm. You know, it's again, you know, it's the picture is murky if money is available. It seems like just recently maybe more money has been released for some programs that, you know, could be beneficial. But we went back with just policies. And so one of the new policies we went back with was really focusing on agriculture in the Gorge. Excuse me. And I came back with a little cold. So one of the policies that we went back with was related to agriculture. And, you know, in Wasco County, wheat and cherries and, you know, different crops are really important to our economy, Hood River as well. And over the years, the Department of Labor has changed the way the visa policy works to get workers to come in. And they've also continued to increase the wage rate. And then on the wheat side, you know, one of the big impacts is that they're through USAID, which is no longer a program. There was a program to purchase wheat called, something like Wheat for Hunger or something like that. Yeah. But anyway, it doesn't even matter. And so, you know, when we went back, we're like, okay, these are really important to our region and we need help here because our growers can't raise the prices that they charge for the produce going to the grocery store, but they're paying more because of these federal policies put in place. So, you know, to get to the end of like this long story, which, you know, all my stories are always long, but, you know,
it's a talk show, so it's okay. You know, if people expect to hear something other than talk when they tune in here, they're really listening to the wrong place right now.
Yeah.
It's on them at that point. So go ahead.
Yeah, so we went around and we actually had the team that traveled with us included a new person, Stacy Coburn, who is the current port president, and she actually works in the agricultural sector, and so she was able to give some really great examples from a personal business level on what's going on and the impact. And the good news is that all of our delegation in Oregon, and then we also do meet with the Washington delegation, all clearly understand what the problem is. And so there is a program, it's called the Workforce Modernization Act. And when we got back, one of the bits of good news that we got is that the Department of Labor had met. They understood that the wages that they kept escalating year after year for the workers that were coming in on the visas just did not make sense. So they reduced some of those numbers. And so some of our ag folks will have a little bit of wage relief next year, which was great news.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be enough to make up for the market loss, but...
Yeah, so, yeah, and so, you know, we did, the whole tariff conversation, you know, we had a lot of conversations around that. The forest policy is also a really big one that we go back with. And again, you know, both Wasco County and Hood River County are pretty significantly impacted, really, as is all of Oregon. Mm-hmm. So there are two programs. One is called Secure Rural Schools.
Right.
And the other one is Payment in Lieu of Taxes. Mm-hmm. And both of these programs came about when the forest was effectively shut down for timber harvest because of the spotted owl and then a variety of other things that happened. And over the years, again, the Oregon-Washington delegation primarily have been able to find money to, I'm going to say offset, but that's really not...
Well, they didn't offset the loss.
They did not offset the loss. I was trying to figure out how to say that.
Not even close. Okay. they made a token payment, the way I would call it.
Thank you. That's a perfect way of putting it. Yeah. You know, when you go from millions of dollars to, you know, a few thousand dollars, it's pretty insignificant.
Almost insulting, I would say, but that's just me.
So Senator Wyden has been, you know, a pretty big advocate about trying to keep funding for our region. Yeah. Now, you know, one of the other things, Mark, that was very, very, very obvious when we were in Washington, D.C., is the friction between the House and the Senate and the Republicans and the Democrats.
This has gone beyond friction, I will say, but we'll go with the understatement. So, okay, yeah.
You can be my translator this morning.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't feel quite as as you have to be diplomatic. I don't necessarily have to be.
Yeah. So we went and we met with, you know, Senator Wyden, because we always do. He was explaining to us that he was still trying to get funding through on this forest policy issue. And one of the new things that is happening right now in Washington, D.C. is that there's a term called a pay for. And what that means is that if there is funding that's being requested, you can request it, but you have to show where that money is coming from on the balance. Mm. So it's not like there's just new money being added to the budget. Yeah.
Now, I will say, in fairness on that one, a lot of us have to do that in a lot of walks of businesses.
Yes, that is true.
So I cannot sit here. I a lot of what you said, I've got plenty of ammunition to just roll my eyes. But that one, that's what people do all the time.
It kind of makes sense, right?
It does, yes.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is, which we did not know, we being the delegation that traveled back to Washington, D.C., is that these forest programs have never had a pay for. They've just been put in the budget. So there's been a dollar amount that's been requested. Mm-hmm. That dollar amount has been put in the budget. If the budget has passed, then that dollar amount was then distributed to the counties. Well, now, as I mentioned, Senator Wyden has a plan that he's trying to work on, but you know, he does need to work with the Republicans, and they do need to identify where this money is coming from, and it does not seem like there is a clear path for that.
Well, I keep coming back to, if that land was mine, I'd be paying so much in taxes that, quite frankly, I'd own my own county commissioner.
Yeah,
literally, I would. And that's what my stance has always been. We're the ones having to go and do search and rescue.
Yep.
On your lands.
Yep.
We are the ones that, frankly, have to protect, in the case of Hood River County, their forest land, because of some forests that have not been taken care of properly at the national level. It's because that fire won't know the difference between the national forest lands and the county forest lands. County will be a little better protected, but that's about it. That, to me, it's not so much a matter of find it from elsewhere in your budget. It's more like, here's the bill you owe us
right.
for this, because we lock up this land that I actually agree with locking up, because I believe in preservation of these beautiful natural lands. We need to keep them that way for our ecosystem.
Yep.
But, I think of Skamania County and what the horrible position they're in.
Right.
I mean, completely untenable.
Yeah, I don't remember what the number is, but it's something like 98% of their county is federal.
Yeah. You don't have to know it exactly. It just, as long as you understand, it's almost the whole county.
Yes.
But that's what gets me on this whole thing. And my fear is the best chance we had to get something done has frankly gone away, because there was a point where Wyden was high enough on the food chain. You had Greg Walden way up there on the food chain in Congress.
Right.
Each representing the two major political parties of this country, each able to get along with each other, and each able to understand that this isn't a Democrat-Republican party, this is a Western issue, and they could, and they were in positions they could do it, and even then they couldn't get it done completely.
Yeah.
So,
yes,
you know.
Well, you know, and Mark, and so just, I mean, not I, to like dwell
I,
on the...
I just took us way off track here.
That's
I'm
okay,
sorry.
But not to, you know, dwell on the forest, but I'm back in Washington, D.C., and this was, you know, the early part of September. And, you know, I think as many of us who live in this region have watch duty on my phone, and I'm getting an alert that there is... you know, another fire has just started.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, there's, you know, again, there's like two ways to handle this. You can either give us the money now and let us take care of the forest and let us address these different issues, or there's going to be a big bill on the other side when we have these devastating wildfires that happen.
And before I completely strut on the federal side here, I should note the states are not exactly stepping up and doing their share either.
Right.
You know, we just had Washington's DNR head basically come out and say it the other day when they returned the Burdoyne fire. But anyway, was there anything about, you know, one of the ones that has, of many things that irritate me these days, was the loss of that child care center that had been worked on for so long, and was also packaged as a resilience center that had money committed to it by the federal government.
Yep.
Now, if I buy another business, let's say I was out there with a business, I bought another business, I would be responsible when I buy that business for the contractual obligations from the previous business owner, unless there was some other way that happened contractually, which I know did not happen in this case. Is there any way to get that back? Because, I mean, that I've been around things where federal money suddenly became questionable. And usually the response I get from those involved is, you know, we'll find another way. And usually there is.
Yes. Yep.
This one was the closest one to where I heard when I asked people, it was like, there's no way to get this back.
Yeah. So we had, you know, sort of like our book topics, and then we had kind of like our off book topics. And that was certainly one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the really quick summary for, you know, the listeners is that, yes, the community worked a very long time, got about a $20 million. It was called the Community Change Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And contracts were signed in November, December. All indications were the money was arriving, the new administration gets installed, and then all of a sudden things are put on hold, and then things got zeroed out. And so that was one of the projects that got zeroed out. And it got zeroed out, and I think, you know, I don't know the exact details, but, you know, from administration to administration, you can have a focus area, and the focus area from the Biden administration was different from the Trump administration. Mm. And so those projects that you know, kind of were aligned with the Biden administration got zeroed out. So we were asking the question, it's like exactly what you said. It's okay, you know, we've been working this a long time. Mm-hmm. Contracts were signed, you know, sort of going back to balancing the budget. It's like you and I have to balance our budget every day. If we want to buy something new, we have to figure out where the money's coming from. Mm-hmm. If we sign a contract, we're obligated for that contract. What do we do about it? Mm-hmm. And I will say that there's not a good answer, Mark. You know, we actually, you know, we voiced our concerns to all the delegation. And I'm going to say that they heard our concerns. We also had a meeting with an organization, and I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but they are actually gathering together other communities like ours that are in that same position where we had entered into a contract, we thought we had the money. And so there is a group nationally, I believe, of folks that are actually trying to come together to work on how do we get this money like back to these communities, because you know, for the community of the Dalles, $20 million for a project, that's like a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
And it was a great project.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was probably a pretty good project. It actually dealt with one need in particular. Now, I'm going to say probably one of the things that did not help the project was you really kind of got the money from a second use for it, which was the resiliency center part.
Right.
Nothing new under the sun to do that, by the way. We could probably find a laundry list of projects that did it that way, rather than more being coming from some fund that would say it was a child care project.
Right.
But frankly, if you can do two things with it, good. It's and knowing the child care need in this area, it's been called a child care desert, I believe, in some locations.
Yes.
I can understand how devastating it was for people who'd worked this project and thought it was done, all the monetary part, the contracts were signed, and then, oh, no. I don't think that's a good way to do business, frankly.
No, and I think that probably across the country, everybody was surprised by when they sort of received the letter or the email or whatever they got that said, oh, by the way, sorry, your project's not funded.
Yeah.
Because you just, first of all, you don't expect the federal government to act that way. Mm-hmm. You really don't expect anybody to act that way. Mm-hmm. So we did bring that up, actually, Mark, at multiple places. And we are still trying to see if there might be another path forward, if that program maybe, you know, sort of what you were mentioning about how sometimes you can, like, find a way to, maybe the money's not gone, but it has a new name. And so how do you find out how do you follow that money to the new name to reapply for it?
Given everything we just talked about with the friction, as you put it, in D.C.
I think you said friction.
And
that was a good word.
No, I said it. Maybe I came up with it. I can't say what I really think because I'll lose the FCC license of the station. I'd be unemployed. but given all that, I mean, you guys have gone every 6 months for a long time.
Yep.
Given the current situation, is it worth going back that frequently right now?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And I will say it's one that we talk about. Actually, we talk about it probably before every trip. And so far, you know, the answer obviously has been yes. You know, one of the things that is important is really just to keep those connections, even though the landscape is changing. You know, Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley have, you know, been there for a long time. Senator Murray and Senator Cantwell have been there for a long time. You know, Cliff Bentz is probably the newest. Well, maybe he and Dan Newhouse.
No, you've got Dexter here. Maxine Dexter would be the newest.
Yeah, which we don't meet.
And Janelle Bynum. Okay, but you don't meet with either of those.
Yeah,
we don't meet
with either of those folks. You know, and so just, you know, maintaining the continuity is important because tides change. Sort of talking about these projects. And it also, I feel like being, you know, there's sort of two ways to go about it maybe. You know, one is you hire a lobbyist.
Yeah.
And you have a firm in Washington, D.C., and they're advocating on your behalf because they're in D.C. and you're paying them to do that. Or the community goes back and we can tell the stories that are actually impacting us and how things are going on. And so far, we felt like that was probably the better way to do it. You know, certainly we'll continue to see what's going on in March. You know, if things are chaotic and it doesn't seem like there's, you know, a path forward on anything that we're working on, we may make a different decision then.
Yeah. We'll get away for this real quick here to one more top before we get away, and that is you work on a deal with Northwest Natural for some Port of the Dalles land. It's finally worked its way through the various things that land sales between a fairly large company and a governmental agency have to go through, which means it took a while.
Yeah, it took a while. And actually, for your listeners, before I got on the air, I was joking with Mark that, you know, this, it seems like it takes forever on these projects. You know, we come to an agreement and then, you know, the legal departments have to work through all the words. But yes, it's finally closed. The Northwest Natural owns the property. They currently have a location in the Dalles, but they really needed to expand that into something that worked better for them. And so we sold them some property. Out by kind of the vet center. It's on River Trail Way. And so the project is actually out to bid right now. And so they plan to be starting construction as soon as they can. So it will be nice having another project out there.
Henry Claus, Port of the Dalles. I just looked at the clock. I really got to run here. It's 8:55. We'll be back right after this.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Did you know recycling is offered free of charge to Klickitat County residents? Even curbside pickup is offered free, making recycling easy. A lot of common items are still being recycled, but what exactly is accepted? We should all know that diapers and greasy pizza boxes are not accepted, right? Well, the contamination audit showed otherwise. The new Waste Wizard search tool on the Solid Waste webpage will help you decide how to dispose of items correctly. Klickitat County Solid Waste and Republic Services thank you for recycling right.
Fall into fun at the Hood River County Fairgrounds at the annual Harvest Craft Show, where creativity, community, and cozy vibes come together. Nearly 100 vendors fill four buildings, the Community and Summit buildings, plus both gyms at Y East Middle School next door. Find delicious food, handmade treasures, early holiday gifts, and all the fall feels while supporting local artists and makers. Bring the whole family. It's festive, friendly, and full of local flavor. Saturday 10 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4 at the Hood River County Fairgrounds. Don't miss it.
Class today will be lecturing on the high points of history in the Dalles. We all know that the Dalles was founded in 1857, but did you know that in 1904, Bonds Printing was founded, starting with handset type and a hand-fed press? Since then, they've grown and expanded to become an authorized Konica Minolta copier dealer in the 1990s. And they still provide a wide range of printing services, all while being owned by the same family. Certainly, one of the high points in history, wouldn't you say?
Bonds Printing, 308 Union, the Dalles, 541-296-2361.
Columbia Veterinary Hospital is not your standard vet office. We are a full-service animal hospital. We have a climate-controlled space dedicated to large animals and horses. Perfect for dental work, exams, and radiology. That's not all. Acupuncture, laser therapy, ultrasound, and many other services for all your pets, large and small. Columbia Veterinary Hospital in the Dalles. Your trusted partner for all your pets' needs. Find us online at columbiavet-hospital.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
And we do need to get out of here pretty quickly because I took it right to the wall today. A very good job by Cameron to navigate me through and make sure I didn't have a big crash here, because that crash was going to happen here. Tomorrow we'll talk Hood River County, Allison Williams, Jennifer Ewer, Wasco County. Phil Brady will be here. May talk to him about a statement he made during the Wasco County Commission meeting a couple weeks ago about trying to figure out how you can get, you know, a little more balance to what you're hearing out there. But we're done. I got worked up this morning. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Tuesday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Today's